Praise the Lord. We have been some weeks in this series, What on Earth Are You in the Church For? Everybody here tonight, everybody that chooses to worship with us, you're born again. God has given you a gift to play a role in the church and to live for a purpose higher than yourself. We're going to look at this tonight. We're going to finalize just a description of these gifts, and we'll look at some other ways to put them to use on other nights. But tonight we're going to take a final look at the description of these inclinational gifts, or these motivational gifts, if you would. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, kind of our pivotal verse here, it says, as every man or every person hath received the gift for him or her, even so minister the same one to another. Use your gift to minister or to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word stewards is something has been given within our responsibility, and then we will give an account for what we've done with that. And this would remind us of the parable of the talents, and we won't go into that tonight. Now, tonight we're going to look at the last of the inclinational gifts like we have been, and I'm going to talk about ways you can know you might have it, some dangers of having it, and some roles you can play in the church if you do have it. But if you'll listen, what I'm going to do right at the first, I'm going to create an illustration to kind of differentiate between these gifts. I'm going to tell a little story I just made up, and you take this story and see the way people with different gifts react, and you ask yourself tonight as I'm telling this little story, I'm not saying fib, it's just a story I made up, and as I tell this little story, then you say, now, that one's me, or no, that one would be me, or that one would be me. Would you do that when I tell the story? See where you would fit into this story. Okay, here it is. One of our kids has been running wild out in the foyer, bumping into folks, going full steam, getting in the way. And tonight, when we leave here, he's running full blast. He slips, and he falls, and he just gashes open his knee horribly. And he's lying there on the floor. He's wailing. He's crying, he's thrashing, blood is flying everywhere, it's pulling around him. Okay, I want to ask you to look for yourself in this. Here is the one with the gift of prophecy. Ready? Gift of prophecy. He walks out into the foyer and he says, you are bleeding all over the floor. You're getting it dirty. Don't you know that somebody will have to clean this up? And by the way, this is what happens to people who treat God's house by running. You were disrespectful to run in God's house. You shouldn't have been doing it. And now you've fallen and busted your knee. It just shows you how you ought to be behaving and not behaving in the house of God. That's the gift of prophecy. Have you seen yourself yet? Don't point at anybody, okay? This is self-advice. That would be the gift of prophecy. Here's the gift of service or ministry. This is somebody with the gift of service or ministry. Oh, here, I'll make a pillow for you. Let me put it under your head. And just a minute, I'll go get you some Kleenex so we can help dry those tears there. And by the way, I got some peroxide here and some gauze. And here, let me wash your wound out. And let me take this gauze and bandage it for you. And don't worry about the blood. I'll clean up the floor in just a minute. In fact, I'll be right back. I'm going to get the mop bucket. That's somebody with the gift of service. Have you seen yourself yet? Here's somebody with the gift of teaching. They walk back there, the guy's bleeding, and here's how they begin. Let me tell you why you fell. See, there's this thing called gravity, and there's also this thing called momentum. And when your momentum reaches a certain speed and you rapidly change direction, your center of gravity isn't under the bulk of your body, and so you fall. And the reason it hurts so bad and breaks open your skin is because relative to the floor, your skin is soft. And so when your skin meets the floor in the distance that you have fallen, taking into account the law of inertia, your knee hit the floor at just the right velocity of 5 to the 6th power so that it caused this depth of a gash. And now let me tell you about why it bleeds. And I won't do that. That's someone with the gift of teaching. Here's someone with the gift of exhortation. Here's what you need to know now that you have fallen. Here are some things you can learn from this. First, though, let us help you up, and then you need to let your parents take you to urgent care so they can check you out. But after all that's said and done, and after you get your stitches, you need these tips on how not to let it happen again. Number one, make sure you never get to running speed in the foyer again. Number two, learn to think of others who may be in the foyer. Number three, realize that though your knee hurts, God can talk to you through your pain. That's somebody with the gift of exhortation. Have you seen yourself yet? Here's somebody with the gift of giving. This kid really needs to be taken to urgent care. And so the gift of giving says to the parents, listen, I saw that you drove to church in your pickup, but this kid, he needs to lie down. Here's the keys to my car. You just take my car. I got a big car. It's got a big back seat. Go ahead and take the keys to my car, and he can lay down in the back seat. And by the way, you going up to urgent care, and I know you're going to be hungry. The pastor preached so long, and you're going to be hungry up there. And so, listen, while you're there, I'll go buy Arby's, and I'll buy you some roast beef, and I'll be there in just a little bit because I know you're hungry. And then when the parents leave, the one with the gift of giving starts talking to people and said, did you know that family has been having trouble even paying their electric bill? This is going to really put them out. It's going to put them behind. Hey, does anyone got a few bucks? Let's put together some money to help them out with this cost of this urgent care. That's somebody with the gift of giving. Do you have the gift of giving? Here's somebody with the gift of organization. Okay. Everybody move back. Gertrude, go find his parents. Joe, go see if you can find one of our nurses in the church. Sue, go to the pastor's office and get the first aid bag. George, you go get some paper towels and a mop. Hey, somebody get a pillow for his head. See, the gift of leadership or the gift of organization. Now, here's the gift we're going to cover tonight. It's the gift of mercy. Someone with the gift of mercy goes back into the foyer and goes, poor thing. Oh, I can't imagine how badly that hurts. It really hurts, doesn't it? I can see the pain in your eyes. And then they're down on the floor crying right along with the little fellow that fell. And then they'll start going, looking around at people. It could happen to anybody. Don't look at him that way. Anybody could have done this. Poor thing. Let me give you a hug. That's somebody with the gift of mercy. Did you see yourself in any of those gifts? Now, as we look at the gift of mercy tonight, remember, every gift comes with blessing, responsibility, and danger. Let's look at the gift of mercy tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth or organizes with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There's a responsibility there. Well, what is mercy? Just let me give you this brief definition. Mercy, the gift of mercy, is the inclination to feel kindness, tenderness, compassion for people. And here's the qualification here. Even if they have brought their troubles on themselves. You see, if you have the gift of mercy, you don't say, well, they deserved what they got. Or you don't say, well, maybe that'll teach them. If you got a gift of mercy, it don't matter how they got in the mess. You care about them. You hurt for them. Amen? Let me just ask you one more time. Aren't you glad everybody don't have the gift of prophecy? Aren't you glad God's given some people the gift of mercy? I know you're looking at me. You understand that that's my gift, the gift of mercy. How many had me as a teacher? And was that my gift, the gift of mercy? My wife had me as a teacher. She's saying, no. I didn't even give mercy to my own wife. Okay. Now, let's get this clear. Some people specifically have the gift of mercy, but all of God's people should show mercy because he's a merciful. Well, what's the difference? If all of God's people should show show mercy. What's the difference that some have the gift of mercy? Well, those of us that don't have the gift of mercy, we want to do right. We want to be like God. We want to be like Christ. So when we get in those situations, we have to keep reminding ourselves. You know, we want to tell somebody up and we say, wait a minute. You need to show mercy. And we have to remind ourselves, don't tell them off. Show them mercy. Care about them. Be concerned about them. But someone with the gift of mercy don't have to tell themselves to show mercy. It's just there. They naturally, or should I say they supernaturally, when they see somebody hurting or in struggle or in pain, they just automatically, without reminding themselves, they show mercy. You see, it's their nature and their supernatural gift to empathize with the one that's hurting and to lavish mercy and concern upon them. It's also their nature to seek out folks that are hurting and understand them and try to help them because you care about what they're going through. Let me give you some indications tonight that you might have the gift of mercy. You're thinking, well, maybe I have that gift. If you have the gift of mercy, here's some of your desires. You desire to show kindness to others even when they don't deserve it. You desire that people would be kinder and more understanding of each other. I mean, it really goes all through you when you hear somebody being mean to somebody else. If you have the gift of mercy, you say, oh, why can't they be nicer? Why can't those kids talk to their parents with more respect? Why don't those parents give those kids a little leeway? You know, why don't Pastor Hurst let up a little bit on them? On those young people. That's if you have the gift of mercy, you're always wishing other folks would be more kinder. If you have that gift of mercy, you desire to act and not just feel sorry. We've really got to emphasize this. It's not if you have the gift of mercy, you don't just feel sorry for someone. You want to alleviate their suffering. You want to help them not feel the pain. If you have the gift of mercy, you will want to see folks healed of negative feelings. When you see people that are critical and hurt and bitter, you want to see them healed of that. Let me give you another little differentiation here. If you got the gift of exhortation, you want people to learn something from their hurt. If you got the gift of exhortation, you want them to learn something from their hurt. But if you got the gift of mercy, you just want them to quit hurting. If you have the gift of service or ministry, you want something to be said or something to be done to alleviate the hurting. But if you have the gift of mercy, you just want to let them know that you care. I care for you. I am with you. If you have the gift of mercy, you will desire to be there for them in their trouble as a friend. If you have the gift of mercy, you desire to defend anybody that is hurt. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you have the gift of mercy, you're always that ready to take the underdog's side in things. If you see anything that looks unjust, you're right there. You want to defend folks, especially those of your own family. If you have the gift of mercy, you desire to be friends with everybody, except those that are critical. There's something about someone with the gift of mercy, they do not like to be around critical folks. It's just a huge conflict. Here's some other indications you might have the gift of mercy, and these are with your traits. You really feel, it's not a made-up thing, it's not just an assertion of your mind, you feel a tenderness toward others. I'm glad there's folks like that. If you have the gift of mercy, you often try to act tough, but everybody knows you're tender-hearted on the inside. Have you ever known somebody like they're always trying, but you really know how soft they are on the inside? If you have the gift of mercy, you draw people to you. Everybody wants to be around you because you empathize with them. You care about them. If you have the gift of mercy, you're more moved by people's inner struggles than their material needs. I mean, what gets you isn't just that their car engine blew up. What gets you is how fearful they are, how they're going to get it fixed, and how upset that they are about the trouble this is going to cause you. A person with the gift of mercy is concerned with the inner struggles of folks. If you have the gift of mercy, you empathize. What does that mean? You feel with them their joys and their hurts. And somehow, if you have the gift of mercy, you always seem to sense how other people are feeling. I've seen folks with the gift of mercy, you know, and they'll come up to me and say, I can tell you're really going through it right now. See, that's someone with the gift of mercy. Or they'll come to someone and say, I can tell you've really been struggling. I've just seen it in your eyes. And they really care. They're not being nosy. They care. If you have the gift of mercy, you are sensitive to whatever hurts others. What do you mean by that? You know, the speaker may be speaking, and you know somebody that's got a certain problem, and he may really come down in a hard, you know, kind of just kind of a rough way. And if you have the gift of mercy, you say, oh, I wish he wouldn't say that like that. That's going to hurt so-and-so's feelings. That's going to upset so-and-so. If you have the gift of mercy, you think along those lines. If you have the gift of mercy, you know what it is to show unconditional love in response to the hurting, and you know what it is when it's insincere and it's an act. If you have the gift of mercy, you can tell when people are putting it on, when they act like they care for others, because you genuinely care, so you can tell when somebody is faking it. When you have the gift of mercy, you always shy away from saying anything negative about anybody. That's one big way you can tell somebody's got the gift of mercy. You're in a group, and all of a sudden somebody gets on the rotisserator. Have you ever been there when they put somebody on the rotisserator? You know what I'm saying? They just start letting them have it. And if you got the gift of mercy, you know what you do? Oh, don't talk that way about them. We shouldn't be talking like this. If you have the gift of mercy, you don't want anything negative to be said about others. And if you have the gift of mercy, you can relate to others because you understand their hurt is like your hurt and their struggle is like your struggle. Now, let me give you some dangers of the gift of mercy. Here's some dangers. Remember, every gift comes with responsibility, with the potential to bless, and it comes with dangers. Amen. If you have the gift of mercy, your danger is you can empathize so much with the person's hurt, you won't confront the wrong in their life that's causing the hurt. You see what I'm saying? I mean, they're hurting, so you say, oh, I'm so sorry, and you cry with them, but you never look at them and say, well, I'll tell you why you're hurting. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be involved in that. If you have the gift of mercy, another danger is you get so caught up in a person's hurt, you fail to see what God wants to do in their life, how God wants to teach them a lesson, how God wants to discipline them and cause them to grow. You're so concerned about their hurt, you don't see that God is using that to mature them. If you have the gift of mercy, you draw conclusions about others who have supposedly hurt the one you're empathizing. I mean, you're empathizing with this one, and they say, well, so-and-so said this about me, and you're already thinking of that other person. I'm going to let them have it. They should never hurt this poor soul like this. And you begin to draw conclusions about those that supposedly hurt the one you care about. If you have the gift of mercy, another danger is you become intrusive trying to minister to others. What do you mean by that? You have the gift of mercy. You look over and see Brother Steve, and he looks like sad sack. And you go, oh, I can tell you're struggling, brother. Go ahead. You can tell me what it is. Oh, come on. He said, I don't want to have anything. Oh, come on, brother. I know you want to tell me what it is. Come on. And you just. I also got the gift of prophecy. And pretty soon you're just inserting yourself. You're becoming intrusive in people's lives. That's a danger. You do it because you care, but it's really none of your business at that point. If you have the gift of mercy, you can develop an unhealthy closeness to people. There are appropriate perimeters for relationships. And you may have the gift of mercy, and you may go and start showing like you care for somebody, but you're crossing some perimeters with that person. And you understand what I'm saying. Maybe it's a married man and a single woman, and you can create other scenarios, and you may genuinely care, but you can't cross those boundaries and perimeters and have that relationship, even though you care about them, and that's a danger. Another danger of the gift of mercy is you can begin to have feelings, or the other can begin to have feelings for you. And we could talk more about that. This isn't the place, but that is a danger. You say, I can't see how it is, but there's been lots of folks that went to another Christian for counseling, and because that counselor showed, I'm not talking about professional counselor, just the one giving counsel, showed they cared so much, then the counselee and the counselor got involved in an inappropriate relationship. And it all started because the counselor really cared and was concerned about the hurt of the counselee. And so that's a real danger. Here's some possible roles, and we're going to mention more later at a later date. But if you have the gift of mercy, here's the way it can be a blessing. You make a great visitor for the sick. Think about it. If you got the gift of mercy, I mean, you really care. You know, we've been talking about these other gifts, but some folks, they go in and look at somebody lying on the bed and say, "You really don't look that sick." I've seen a lot of folks that sick get up and go to work. That's not the gift of mercy. That's not someone you want to send on sick visitation. People that have the gift of mercy make great folks to visit the sick. Amen. And so here you are, a husband, you're about to die, and your wife's trying to get you to get up and go to work. You need somebody to come by that's got a gift of mercy that can really relate to you. Another gift or possible role for those with the gift of mercy is to balance those that have the gift of prophecy. See, God knows what he's doing. We need prophets. We need folks that can put their finger on the problem and probe and penetrate and tell folks how and what is wrong in their life. But I'm telling you, sometimes when the prophet gets through, the poor fella is bleeding. Amen. And when that's happening, we need somebody to come along and pour in some oil and wine. Right? And that's what someone that has a gift of mercy, and I've seen that happen. I've seen somebody that's really got it, and they may have needed it. And I've seen someone come along with the gift of mercy and say, "Oh, you know that we love you. And you know that old prophet loved you. That old preacher liked you. He loves you too. And you know, it's going to be okay. It's okay." That's somebody with the gift of mercy, and you can have a good role in that. Someone with the gift of mercy, another possible role, is to respond to community needs. Not just needs in the body, but you're one of the first to say, "Oh, here's somebody down the road. They lost their house to a fire. Here's something we can do." Someone with the gift of mercy is a good worker for the homeless and for others with special needs. And I really believe this. Now, you'll need someone with other gifts to do this. And I'm listing this now because this is an area of burden and vision, but jail ministry, someone with a gift of mercy would be someone good to send on jail ministry, because it don't matter what those fellas done. Someone with a gift of mercy is going to cry with them, care about them. Now, I said you don't want to send someone with a gift of mercy alone on jail ministry, because that'd be trying to break those poor fellas out. You know, they don't deserve to be here. And so there needs to be somebody with prophetic word that can come with those. But it's really good to have somebody. And you know, I see this balance a lot with even my wife and I. When we deal with folks, my gifts are different. And you know, sometimes I'm letting them have it. I got that exhortation, and I'm saying, "Look, here's what you need." And that prophetic word, you know, "You did this wrong and that wrong, and I'll tell you." And she comes, she's right there beside me, and, you know, she turns on the gift of mercy there. And we need that in the body of Christ, don't we? How many seen that even with the discipline of your own children? One of you approached them prophetically, and they was glad when mercy parent came along. Another possible role with one with the gift of mercy is to help somebody that needs restoration. You know, these things are not clinical test tube. These are reality. And God knows we need the gift of mercy in the church, because sometimes people have really messed up. And yes, they need the prophet to tell them they've messed up. But they need somebody with the gift of mercy that can help bring them back in to fellowship and help restore them and help them to feel a part and be there alongside of them. Amen. Don't raise your hand, but how many has the gift of mercy? You're more convinced of that ever than ever before tonight. You know, so isn't this surprising? Because, you know, as I began this series, I said, you know, when we think of gifts, we think of evangelists and pastors and you know, ministry teachers and singers. And but are you seeing how there's many, many more gifts than just those things? Do you see it? And everybody has a role to play. I'm going to just quickly work the remainder of the way through Romans 12 for just a few moments here, because though these aren't listed specifically as gifts, they're inferred in here, because if you have these things in the body, it's because a member with that inclination motivates the body to do so. You know, and I'm not going to go into all that tonight, but let me tell you how it works. We are a body. We need all these gifts. And as a church, we might not stand against social injustice, like abortion, for example. I'll use that as an illustration another time. We may just leave that alone if we didn't have somebody in the church with the gift of prophecy that says, hey, what, did you know so many babies have been aborted and we need to come against that? And on the other hand, as a church, we might become really harsh and hard on people if we didn't have somebody in our midst that had the gift of mercy and would remind us as a church, wait a minute, yes, we need to stand for the truth and preach it unequivocally, but we need to also be merciful to folks. And so what I'm trying to say is God puts people with different gifts in the church to help the church be and act what it should be. And so here's some things that should be in the church that people with gifts help us have. Paul said in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Some folks have the gift of loving people. And they teach the rest of the church, if we would listen, how to love people. You know, this is the reason some folks get so upset. They judge the whole church by one individual. And some prophets let them have it. And they're going away judging the church by that one prophet. But I'm telling you, God also has people in the church that know how to love folks. And they are helping the church as a whole to see how we need to love folks. Let's go on. Passion. Verse 11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. You know, the truth of the matter is, and don't look at anyone, but some of us, it doesn't matter the occasion or the event or what's happening, we're just kind of deadheads. We don't got to get excited about anything. Aren't you glad that some folks have the gift of passion? They teach us that there's things to be fervent over. You know, I was thinking this morning when Brother Brian was worshiping, I said, thank God that someone has that gift of getting excited about things, being passionate about things. Another gift is patience. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient, which literally means endurance, standing under the burden, patient in tribulation. Amen. Some of us aren't very patient. We don't endure. We don't stick with things enough when things get rough. Thank God there are folks with that gift that reminds us as a body that however tough things may get, endure. You say, how does that work? I've seen folks that's gone through all kinds of difficulties and setbacks and reversals, and they're in the house of God every time it's open. They don't move back an inch in serving God. And it says to other folks, we need patience. We need endurance. We need to stay steady. Amen. Here's another gift, prayer, the end of verse 12. Continually instant in prayer. And I really do. Maybe it's not a specifically named gift, but I believe prayer is a gift. Did you know one of the gifts that we need greatest in the church of 2014 is the gift of intercessory prayer? And that might work with the gift of mercy, but we need somebody that can get a hold of other people's needs and stand in the gap and petition God to meet those needs. Amen. We need folks that will really pray. And have you noticed, amen, all of us, we struggle with praying as we ought, but we can get in the prayer room and we can begin to hear somebody with the gift to pray, praying and just getting a hold of God and interceding to God for other folks. And isn't that an impetus to the rest of us to pray? See how God does this with the gifts. Another gift is a care for the needy. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Amen. I like folks that are this way. It don't matter to them how folks got to have a need. They just want to meet it. And you know, God gives folks, you know, care for the needy doesn't just mean you got a big heart, but you know how to care for them and when to care for them. And with that gifts comes wisdom of how, see, it says distributing to the necessity, a wisdom on how to give and how much to give and when to give. Thank God for folks like that. I could tell you stories, but I'm going to take the time. And then there's a gift of hospitality. Verse 13, the last part of the verse, given to hospitality. I really believe this is a need in church. And we have folks, and I've tried to refrain from calling names, but I, you know, sometimes I just want to illustrate this so strongly. But and everyone doesn't have this gift. I understand that. But you know, we would have a new family. They wouldn't be here very many services at all. And Margie would ask them to come out to their house. Gift of hospitality. We need that. Folks come in, they don't feel like they belong because of sin and fallenness and the fragmented world and families we have. And we need people with the gift of hospitality just to make them feel like they fit, like they're a part, that, like we want them here, and invite them into their homes and make them feel at home. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll just a few more things and we'll quit for this evening. But I begin this series to say what confuses so many people is they don't realize there's three categories of gifts. And I want to repeat this one more time so we can get a hold of it. And I gave you this verse because here Paul gives us a sampling of each category. The first category of gifts is positional gifts that Jesus gives to the church. Positional gifts. Pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher. These are positional gifts that Jesus gives. And then there's inspirational gifts that the Spirit gives. The gifts of wisdom and of knowledge and of discerning of spirits and of miracles and of healings and of faith and of tongues and of interpretation of tongues and of prophecy. Those are inspirational gifts that are given by the Spirit. Remember, positional gifts given by Jesus and inspirational gifts given by the Spirit. And then the third category, which we've been dealing with on Sunday night, are the inclinational or the motivational gifts given by the Father. And that's what we've been talking about. But here in this one verse, Paul gives us examples from each of those categories. Let's look here, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, positional gifts, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then inspirational gifts. After that, miracles, then the gifts of healings. That's the second category. And then the third category, an example of that. Helps, which would also be the gift of service and ministry. Governments, which is also the gift of administration or leadership or organization. And here's another one more, spiritual gifts, diversity of tongues. And so let's look at this list and just a few more inclinational gifts. The gifts of help. And again, that's the gift of service or ministry. And that's just the inclination to offer to help whatever the need is. I mean, someone with the gift of help, they not only show up to help, but they're always asking, can I help? Can I help? Can I help? Can I help? And then there's the gift of governments, again, in verse 28. That's the inclination to organize, to plan, to systematize. And all of these, they are not an exhaustive list. They're just given to us examples of the gifts that God gives folks to play a role in the body of Christ. And we're back to that. That's how Paul began. He gave the analogy of the body. Look at your body, all the diversity of the different parts. Amen. And you know, he gave things. What if the whole body were an eye or the whole body an ear? Well, first of all, that'd look really weird if you look down the pew there and there's this huge ear sitting on the pew. You don't agree with me? That'd be pretty weird. You look down the pew and there's a big foot, 6 foot foot. How would you like to see a 6 foot foot? Yeah, it'd be weird though, wouldn't it? But what makes this body so fearfully and wonderfully made, you that are nurses and are involved and studying the anatomy and all that, the thing that makes this body so wonderfully made is its diversity. So many different parts that do so many different things, that have so many different functions. And you know, with all those parts working together, first of all, it's good for the body. I mean, how would you like to try to feed yourself if you were just a foot? How'd that work? No, it's a different. How many different parts of your body just going into feeding yourself? I know you're already thinking about the bowl of ice cream or cereal after church, so let me help you. Just think of all the parts. I mean, you got to walk to the refrigerator to get the milk, right? You got to use your eyes to see which cabinet. You got to use your hand to take out the box, open the box. You got to use your teeth for the wax lining inside to get it open. Amen. You pour it in there. Use your hand to take it up to your mouth. Use your teeth to crunch it. Use your tongue to move it around. And we're not going any further down the hatch than that. But you use all these different parts of your body just to eat. And Paul uses that. If we were, think of what a horrible thing it would be if we were all alike. We all had the same gifts. Amen. What if all of us had the gift of preaching and we had to wait tonight till everybody got through with their sermon? I mean, God knows what He's doing. And so you take all these gifts that we have and put, and we can really do something for God. I've said it for years. Let me say it again. We are together what we could never be apart. And I want to say one more thing. If you're born again, you're a part of the body. You know, one of the things I hear from throughout the years is, I don't feel like I'm a part. If you're born again, you are a part of the body. And I've come to this conclusion. Please hear me. And this is, you can take it as a prophetic word, but it's really a statement of mercy. Folks that don't feel a part are those who do not take a part. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight. You have a part to play. Take your part. And when you take your part, you'll feel a part. But beyond that, the body of Christ will do things that it could not do without you. Amen. So let's bring this to a close. I want to ask you a question, tell you a story, read a scripture, and we're done. The statement that I want to, or the question I want to ask you, and I really want you to think about this. Aren't you really thankful that not everybody is just like you, but some folks have gifts different than you? I want you to really think about it. Aren't you glad everybody's not just like you? I'm not telling you to ask that of your neighbor. I'm not telling you to look at your neighbor tonight and say, I'm sure glad not everybody's like you. Look to yourself. Aren't you really glad there's people that can offset you? Amen. And then the story I want to tell you, I've told this a time or two through the years, but I hadn't been pastoring long. And at that time, the Miami Valley surgery waiting area was just a big, huge open area, and it was always just full of people. It wasn't broken up like they break things up now. And the volunteer was at the information place in the middle, and I went there to ask. I wanted to get back and pray with somebody before they went to surgery. And she said, well, who are you here for? And I told him. And she said, are you family? And I said, no, I'm just the pastor. She started hollering at me. Everybody got quiet and listened. She said, what do you mean just a pastor? She said, don't you ever just say you're just a pastor. And she just gave me a dress. She had the gift of prophecy. And she let me have it right there. But let's talk about you. That's maybe my gift, but you got your gift. And don't let anybody tell you, and don't let you tell yourself, well, all I do is drive a van. All I do is clean up after the kids got cookie crumbs in. All I do is send cards to the sick. I'm just a card sender. I'm just a cleaner-upper. I'm just the one that shows up to pray. Don't say that. If it's your gift and your role, it's not just that. That is an important thing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy will get you on that. Well, I'm just this, or I'm just not that, and I'm just this. He likes us to minimize who we are and what God has made us to be and what gifts we have. I'm telling you, when you start feeling unimportant, and I'm not talking about humility, but you start feeling inferior and unimportant and like you have nothing to offer and you have no role to play and you have nothing to give, that never comes from God. Are you hearing me tonight? That never comes from God. That either comes from our warped humanity or it comes from the voice of our enemy. He likes to tell us we have nothing. There's nothing we can do for the church. There's nothing we can do to help others. There's nothing we can help do to get people saved. There's no way we can be a blessing. That kind of talk never comes from God. You don't have a part. You don't have a role. That kind of talk never, ever, ever, ever comes from God. How many's hearing me tonight? Because God says, you have a part. You have a role. And then I want to end with this scripture. And notice that this is from the same chapter. We've been talking about the gifts, the analogy of the body. Listen, Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That's how the body responds when the gifts are operating. We're able to rejoice with those that are rejoicing and weep with those that are weeping. And we can make a difference in people's lives. Would you come, music, tonight? Would you stand across the building? We're going to come tonight and just stand. And we're going to pray for one another. And we're going to put this scripture in action tonight before we leave. And right now, we don't have things that I want to note to rejoice about. We have cause to weep with those that weep. And we're going to do that tonight. How many wants to put this in action before we leave this evening? We're going to pray one for another. Sister Wilson, we had prayer for her today, and she got better right after that. Talked to Brother Wilson. We'll pray for Sister Wilson tonight. We're going to pray for Sister Brock. We're going to pray for Sister Martin, the Martin family. We're going to pray for the Phillips, the pastor and Sister Phillips, and their son that has been shot. We've got other needs in the bulletin. Sister Rose is in the hospital, in Kettering Hospital. Other needs. What I'm going to have us do here tomorrow, I'm going to have us come, but before we start praying, who's ever near you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share a need that you might have with them. And then we're going to pray one for another, and we're going to put this in practice. We're going to weep with them that weep, and maybe before it's over, we can rejoice with them that rejoice, because maybe when we get through praying, somebody can turn to us and say, I just want you to know what God has spoken or done in my heart. We can rejoice with them. So would you just begin to come, starting about the middle of this, all the men, just come as close as you can to the platform and fill up the wing over here. Get as close to the step as you can. And so there's room for everyone. And sisters, that you'd come over here, maybe fill up the wing here. Get in as close as you can. Hallelujah. 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 Just move in as close as you can. Praise the name of the Lord. Everybody that can, would you come? Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Would you come? Amen. Take just a moment. Just a moment. Hallelujah. Would you move in as close as you can? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, would you take a moment? Amen. Would you share with someone the pressing need of your heart and say, would you pray with me about this tonight? Would you pray with me about this tonight? Could you do that? Just move in as close as you can. Say, would you pray with me about this tonight? And all these other needs that we have. And after you've had a moment to share, then let's pray one for another. Let's weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. As soon as you share, begin to pray and call out to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Show mercy tonight. Hallelujah. Weep with those that weep. Jesus, we need your help. Jesus, we need your help. Jesus, we need your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Come on, church. We need one another. Would you pray one for another? Would you pray one for another?
Let me touch Jesus.
Oh, pray one for another tonight. Amen. Don't leave here. Don't listen to the voice of the dark one. Listen to the voice of the Savior. You're a part of the body. You have a role to play. You have something to give, something to contribute. Hallelujah. There's something you can do to make an eternal difference. Oh, pray one for another. Pray one for another. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, go ahead and weep with those that weep. Tell them, I can't understand all that you're feeling, but I know it hurts. I know you need God's help. I need you. No, you need God's strength. Oh, Spirit of God, we need you. Spirit of God, we need you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let me help you touch Jesus tonight. Let me help you touch Jesus tonight. Let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.